Hello, and welcome to the Winding Roads Companion Podcast. I am your host, Catherine Lewiston, and I have with me in the studio, Anne Butera. Anne, can you introduce yourself, please?
Hi, Catherine. I am Anne Butera. I am mostly a botanical watercolor artist. I'm self-taught, and I find inspiration in the plants and flowers that I grow in my garden.
That's beautiful. What do you grow?
Oh, everything.
It's springtime, so everybody's thinking about their garden, starting
mm-hmm. seeds and looking everywhere to see what's coming up in the yard, seeing what bulbs are popping up. But yeah, I love growing edible things like herbs and fruits. I have a peach tree in the backyard.
I also have a peach tree.
Awesome. Yes. Did you get a lot of peaches last year?
Well, we've just moved into our home. Okay. And so I have pruned the peach tree to get it ready for the growing season. But yeah, we were able to eat a couple of the peaches when we purchased the house. And so,
we're excited. It was a bumper crop for me the last 2 years, actually. And my tree is not that old.
Okay.
But yeah, it's...
That's lovely.
It's very exciting. And when you tell people that you live in Wisconsin, you have a peach tree, that's kind of like, what?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So how does your garden inspire your work?
Oh, in so many ways. When I first started coming back to painting as an adult, the thing that I was most creative with in my life was my garden at that time.
Okay.
And so when it came to, like, what am I going to paint? Of course, it just made sense for me to turn to the things that I was growing. And that includes also houseplants. Living in the Midwest where... Yeah. You're stuck inside for months.
You've got to get some green in there.
Yeah, and I have so many houseplants. I just finished working on a painting this morning of my lipstick plant, which is blooming. It has gorgeous, interesting flowers. So, yeah, it just was a natural progression for me to turn to my plants as inspiration. Mm-hmm. And I've always loved plants and nature. And as a child, I would spend lots of time in my mom's garden and climbing trees and connecting with nature. And that's another part of the whole creative process for me that's so important. It's being still, being quiet, and connecting with nature. And the whole process of studying my subject is a way for me to connect with nature and slow down and just really see how magical nature is, just even the most ordinary, mundane thing.
Yeah, yeah. And it's all around us, right? And so often we just drive on by or we're too busy to kind of take a pit stop and literally stop and smell the roses, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. So you mentioned something just now that I would love to come back to, and that's the idea that you came back to painting.
Yes.
Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
Sure. As a child, I was a very creative child. And I mean, we all are creative as children.
Yeah.
And that's one of the things that is wonderful, but also difficult. I know there's that famous Picasso quote that's something like, every child is an artist. The problem is how to remain one once you grow up. Mm. And for so many reasons, we stray away from doing artistic and creative things. Mm-hmm. And for me, part of it was internalizing the idea that I was not good at art. And I think that's so easy for kids to, once they start passing a certain age, having that self-criticism, but also criticism from outside of themselves. And I mean, a younger child, anything they create is wonderful, and it's about the process. Mm-hmm. And once you start being critical and looking at something and thinking, oh, that doesn't look like what it's supposed to be,
right?
That can be so difficult. I think another part of the reason that I strayed from making art is just because I'm interested in so many different things. And so, and you can't do everything all at once.
Yeah.
And so, as I talked about being interested in nature, when I went away to college, my plan was to be a biologist.
Gotcha.
Which, I mean,
makes sense.
It makes I wanted mm-hmm. to be a wildlife biologist and study animals in nature. Mm-hmm. That is not what happened at
sure,
all.
Sure, okay.
I ended up being an English major.
Okay, yep. That's very liberal arts of you, exactly. You know?
Yeah. But I mean, all those things are part of who I am. Mm-hmm. And even though I say I stopped making art, after I graduated, I became a children's librarian. And it's a really wonderful job. And children's books, oh, they're so rich with creativity and beautiful. Mm-hmm. And I did so many programs at the library that were arts related. And I was also the person that everyone in the department turned to like make props for things. So I was like paper macheing, like vegetables for the play that we did, things like that. And so I was still creative, mm-hmm. even though I wasn't like making paintings and stuff like that. But there was also that little yearning within me to return to that sort of creativity mm-hmm. and to make some actual art and to play with paint. And that hump to get over was so difficult.
Yeah.
But eventually I started just experimenting and was not any good. But I didn't let that stop me. And I wanted to come back to the childlike joy of creating for the process and enjoying slowing down. And art supplies themselves are really magical. And I work with watercolor. And although my art is very detailed and precise, there's still a lot of magic about that. And one of my favorite parts of it is color mixing. Yeah. And I mean, I could do that all day. And sometimes when I'm having a really crappy day, just sitting down with paint and looking at some flowers and just mixing colors, not with the intention of painting the flowers, but just like studying them and thinking, oh, what colors do I see? And once you start looking, even a simple, oh, that's a pink rose. Well, no, there's so many colors in that. And that, I mean, the process is fascinating and magical and beautiful. And
You are one of many artists that I've interviewed in this podcast who talk about color as their way to play, right? You have the technique, whatever it is, whether it's weaving or watercolor or oil painting or whatever. But then, just the idea of mixing colors in whatever medium you're working in is that way to sort of get into a flow state.
Right.
And just kind of unlock some doors that might have been blocked a little bit. I think that's really interesting. I think that's really cool.
Yeah. And one of the things that just made me think about a series of paintings I did a couple of winters ago, my process usually when I'm painting from the garden is to go outside and see what's in bloom, cut a whole lot of flowers, bring them into my studio, and then study them. And in the wintertime, it's really hard for me not to have that part of my process.
I imagine.
I mean, even though I have my houseplants and things like that, just the whole process of going outside, cutting things, studying them, it's really joyful. And so I thought, well, why don't I do that? I'm not someone who cleans up my garden. I mean, I've got all kinds of dead stuff in there. So I went out, I challenged myself to go outside, see what's interesting. And there are so many interesting things, seed pods and crumpled leaves. And so I gathered a whole lot of stuff, brought it into my studio. And one of the things that I find so fascinating is that boring kind of colors like brown and gray and dull neutrals are so fun to mix the colors because they take every color to create them. And so that process and that series was so fun for me to observe and take something that I thought was kind of boring or not inspiring and turn it completely around.
Oh, that's so cool. I have been going on not as many outside winter walks as I probably should or want to, but like every time I go on a winter walk, I am just drawn to the depth of color that I find present. And it's very interesting because this is the first winter that I've spent here in Wisconsin in a long time. My husband and I have lived for a while in like the subtropics for quite a while, 10 years. So this was our first Midwest winter.
And it was kind of a strange winter.
It was an odd one for sure. Yeah. But because of the lack of snow cover, there was a lot of opportunity to kind of see the depth of those neutrals.
Right.
And like take a look at the way the grass sort of turns this like tawny golden color. And then, you know, you can still see mosses and lichens sort of hibernating in the cold. Things like seed pods are like speckled and have these like almost deep, like auburn or like red, these like deep kind of like red cover. Yeah, it's gorgeous. And, but like if you aren't kind of getting up close and personal with those textures and those colors, it would be easy to just kind of pass it off as like, yeah, it's brown. Oh, it's dead, you know. But like when you look closer, it's amazing. It's amazing the variation. One of the weavers that I interviewed a couple weeks ago, Denise, talked about a creative practice that she does at her loom when she's kind of having a block. She'll go to her color bins and she'll specifically pick out yarns that she thinks look ugly together or, you know, that she thinks don't go together. And she will purposefully put those colors into a weave together so that she can kind of get over some of her color hangups, right? And it's like, even if at the end she's like, yeah, I still don't like these colors together, just the practice of taking things that feel jarring or that feel, I'm not sure what the word would be, maybe unsettled together, and just saying like, no, I'm going to put these together and just see how this goes. Doing that purposefully is such a valuable creative experience. Because especially as you get into the practice of making things for shows, making things that people will buy, you can get into this routine of only sticking to a certain color palette or only sticking to a certain type of material or something like that. And so, yeah, it's often really good to just say, this isn't for anybody. This maybe isn't even for me, right?
No, that's but I'm so
still,
important.
I'm still going to go ahead and do this, and I'm going to take the time to, like, have this experience.
Right, and that's so important. And I think as artists, lots of times we'll get stuck in a rut of doing the same kinds of things over and over. Even if we really love them, doing the same thing over and over can get dull. And
gotta shake it up.
For me, one of the things that helps is I like to play in my sketchbooks. I have so many sketchbooks that I just make a mess in. And I try different materials and I use up leftover paint and things like that just for me. And they're to experiment. And sometimes it's just so that I move my hand and I'm doing something. And that can help loosen up ideas or just like get me out of a slump or shift my mood or whatever.
Do you do like artist pages? Or is this, would you consider that to be sort of your artist pages? Are you aware of that?
Are you talking
practice,
about
like the journaling
morning pages?
Yeah. Yes, yes. The artist way, excuse
right,
me.
Right. I also am a journaler. I mean, I write.
You probably got a lot of books
in
your house.
Oh my gosh. Yes, I have a lot of books in my house.
Yeah.
I have a lot of books in my studio and all over the house, but So yeah, I always write in my journal and just get things out of my head, get things I'm worrying about or things that are irritating me or, I mean, even good things too. Just writing down like something beautiful that I noticed or interesting and just writing has always been a way that I help myself understand things.
Yeah. This is really cool. I mean, I'm just from this conversation that we've been having, you're talking about your experience as an English major and as a librarian mm-hmm. and how important words are to you. And you're talking about your interest in biology and wildlife and how that was like this formative kind of direction for you. And then your artistic practice and painting and how all of those mm-hmm. are coming together and braiding right. together in this really, really cool way.
Well, when you look back, you can see, oh, yeah, that makes complete sense. Mm-hmm. But at the time, it may seem really disjointed. And
mm-hmm. Yeah. I think that's very interesting how time can sort of allow us to see those patterns. Mm-hmm. Yeah, very cool. Well, when you are in your painting mode, what are you looking for? Are you looking to kind of faithfully recreate the flower or the plant that you see in front of you? Or are you kind of taking creative liberties on when you look at that flower, something different is going on the page?
Although I am kind of a nerd about being botanically accurate, mm-hmm. I do not exactly capture what I see.
Okay.
Part of it is I'm trying to make a beautiful composition, mm-hmm. and sometimes what I cut or what I find is not what is in my head of what mm-hmm. I want to have.
Yeah.
And so sometimes I'll have like three or four flower of the same flower mm-hmm. Cut and just take this part of one and this part okay. of another and
yeah.
put them together. And that's part of how one of the uses of my sketchbooks, I will sketch out different parts and have things come together.
Yeah.
So it's not, you know, it's not a faithful representation. So there's mm-hmm. more of my mind's eye going into
yeah,
it.
Yeah, a bit of a mental collage.
I know a lot of botanical artists will take a photograph and paint exactly from that photograph mm. and create really beautiful pieces,
yeah.
but that's just not how I work.
Mm-hmm. And your finished pieces take what form? I mean, are we just looking at like a framed piece?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
A framed piece. I have, I do sell prints of my art and things like that. And mm-hmm. I will also, I scan everything that I paint
okay.
into the computer, and I will use that. I do some fabric design. And so
oh, cool.
I will put different things together
yeah.
to create fabrics and wallpaper and things like that as well.
That's super neat. And so can a person order like wallpaper by you
mm-hmm.
online?
Yes. And yeah, it's very, very cool. I've had some people, there was a blogger a few years ago who redid the entryway into her house
yeah.
with a print that I did of butterflies.
Okay.
And seeing her walls with like my big butterflies on them was just so cool.
Yeah, that's so neat to be able to go, you know, you're painting on a particular scale and mm-hmm. then to be able to like scale that up and have
yeah.
this like macro representation of your art. Yeah, that must feel really awesome.
Yeah, I love it when people send me photographs of things like that. There was a woman who redid her mom's kitchen with a wallpaper that I had designed that had radishes, and
cute.
It was just so fun. It was just so fun.
That's really sweet. Yeah. And so how long are you active on the kind of like art show circuit in this region?
I'm not really. The only okay. thing that I do is the Winding Roads.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't say it's laziness so much on my part. More like it takes a lot of
mm-hmm.
effort for me to do these shows, and I just am not up for it most
yeah,
of the time.
That's fair. That's
although
fair.
I love the Winding Roads art tours,
mm-hmm.
and although it's exhausting. It's also really energizing, and I love talking to the people. And one of the things that's great about botanicals and plants is that plants have so much meaning for people, mm-hmm. and hearing people's stories about what different flowers mean and their memories of family members yeah. or friends, it's just really wonderful to yeah. get that insight into what they see in my art, as well as like what it means to me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And do you paint specific plants? What plants have meaning for you, if you don't mind me asking?
Oh, lots of plants. One thing that I really enjoy doing is painting things that are seen as kind of common or not so interesting or cool, and elevating them by making paintings of them. So some things that come to mind, well, one is dandelions, because some people really, really hate dandelions.
Yeah, right.
But they're really beautiful and interesting plants if you take the time to study them. But other things that are more friendly, like violas and pansies and nasturtiums, are one of my very favorite ones to paint, and I've painted them again and again. So
yeah.
things like that. But then also, I mean, I love roses mostly because of the way they smell, but they're beautiful plants as well.
Mm-hmm. The petals have such a beautiful layer. I imagine, like, having tried as a younger person to like draw flowers, it's amazing how detailed you have to get to a like a faithful representation of something like a rose. And yeah, I gave up. You know, I would like try as a kid, and I would be like, wow, nope, this is gonna take me too much time. I can't commit to this. So let's go back real quick to the actual Winding Roads tour. I imagine that comes at a really good time within your creative practice, because there are so many early blooms coming up in the first week of June, last week of May. So you probably have some things blooming in your garden that are offering you some inspiration while that tour is going on.
Yes.
Yeah.
And, well, it's also kind of hard to, leave my garden.
Oh, yep. There's only so much time in the day.
Oh, yeah.
And so are you at your own tour stop?
I'm not.
Okay.
This is going to be the fourth year, I think, that I've done it. And I have been guests. The first 2 years, I was a guest at Kathy Ocker's studio. I don't think she's doing it this year.
I don't believe so.
And then last year, I was with Charna Schwartz, who's a potter. And that is really fun, getting to see other people's spaces.
Yeah.
My studio is very small. It's just a bedroom in our house.
True.
And it's jam-packed with plants and books and art supplies. So there's not really
any
room.
Not super friendly. Yeah. And so who are you with this year?
I'm with Charna.
Charna
again.
Yeah. Okay. Uh-huh. Very cool. Very cool. I think that's a really cool function of this tour. I mean, it's friendly to the artist that maybe doesn't have the space to just bring people into their full home.
Right.
Right. But then it also allows people to see just such a diversity of art in a single space.
Right.
That I think is really, really neat. And it is similar to an art show in the sense that you kind of go from tent to tent.
Right.
And
you
can see pottery, you can see paintings, you can see furniture kind of all in a row. But the tent at an art show is this sort of an anonymous space, right? It's like everybody's tent sort of looks the same.
Exactly.
And it's a very different experience to actually moving into someone's studio, walking into someone's personal studio space, and walking onto their land and like feeling that energy rather than like going from one white tent to another in a public park. It is a very different, more personal kind of experience.
Right. Well, and another beautiful thing about it is that we live in such a gorgeous area, and getting to go places that you maybe have never been before is really fun.
Yeah. One of my favorite parts about being new to this area, like this year, is realizing what a diversity of artists we have, like per capita.
It's really, it is amazing.
It's kind of absurd. Like, I don't know how many, I don't know how this many artists like live and work and have small businesses that thrive
right
in such a small geographical region, but I think it's remarkable.
It is.
And just knowing that like your neighbor is an artist, probably.
Right.
Like more likely than not.
Right.
The person that you're living next to or is just down the road is a creative person who's like doing this really fun small business or is just doing, you know, really cool stuff.
Right.
I mean, that's so neat.
It is so neat.
And I think this tour can like really give give people an idea of that. Like, you don't have to drive very far to find some really, really incredible artists and craftspeople in this region. It's cool.
It is cool.
Yeah, yeah. So as we wrap up here, is there anything that you want to tell people about, any offerings that you have or like social media presence or anything that you'd like to point people to so that they can see more of your work?
Definitely go to my website, which is mygiantstrawberry.com.
So sweet.
And you can access everything I do there. Okay. I teach on Skillshare, which is a really fun thing. I love all the connections I've made through that. And like the global community of people, creative people is so neat.
Yeah.
And you can sign up there. You get a month for free to try it out.
Oh, cool.
And there are so many cool teachers teaching there. You can learn just about anything you can imagine. I also write a blog. I currently kind of have two blogs, one that's on Substack and one that's hosted on my website.
Okay.
Because I still love to write and share my creativity and inspire people to be serious about their creativity, too.
Yeah, that's very cool. Well, Anne, thank you so much for taking the time to come and speak with me today.
Of course.
I really had a good time.
Yeah, thanks so much, Catherine.